Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to episode 301 of Fourth and John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mal Davis, and Dam Skippy, aka Hollis Thomas, in the building. 301, we're about to have some fun talking about the Vikings preview, Eagles-Vikings preview. This game is going to be at home, folks, so the loudness will not be affecting anybody. I think the energy and the vibe should be insane. I think tailgate season is fully happening this Monday. Club John in the house. But I think Eagle fans have a lot to be excited about. I think they finally get to see their team that's been talked about all season, off season long. Live in flesh, I think Eagle fans have high expectations. Would you agree?
Hell yeah!
I think Eagle fans are looking forward to a big dub. So let's talk about this big dub that's about to happen.
Well, first, I think
go ahead, Austin.
I was going to say, first of all, I think everybody's going was waiting to see what this defense is going to do against a formidable offense. I know I'm not the only one. We gave up 35 points. When you look at the grand scheme of things, we came out and did the exact same thing that we did last year. And a zebra doesn't change his stripes, whether they're black or white. I mean, he showed us in preseason he wasn't going to be doing anything exotic, anything creative. We tried to line up stripe to stripe. And they were running traps. Maul just showed me one of the traps they were running. And I guarantee you we didn't go over and practice. If you look at what we were doing, he just seemed like he just told everybody to get a gap. But when you have a seven man front, it's hard for everybody to get a gap because there's gonna be a double team because it's four against five. And then you can't say it's five on five because your linebacker cannot take on an offensive lineman. And they had a tight end there as well. So it's like we were outmanned and outgunned, and then we were outcoached. I think the only thing that got us the stops that we did get was our athletic ability. And I'm pretty sure that all of my Eagle brethren are waiting to see what Jonathan Gannon has to do with this game coming up, because this will be a quality test. It won't just be – this is not a team that sucks ass like we just played, and it's coming and starting to get better. This is a team that's notorious for having a good offense. We saw last week what they would do to a simple-ass defense. You saw last week where Justin Jefferson got open time after time after time. I'm talking about wide open. I ain't talking about just this little bit. He's running like scot-free. So I just think we're looking for a victory, but we're looking for a complete victory. I think we're looking for our offense and our defense to play well this week. So.
Okay. I mean, Hollis said it, man. This is a good team that we're going up against. We went up to Detroit, started off the year with against a subpar squad. You know, we were able to eke out a victory just because we had a strong enough offense that were able to carry us. But like Hollis said, this Minnesota offense is nothing to sneeze at, man. I mean, you got Dalvin Cook, you got Justin Jefferson. Those are two guys that could absolutely kill you. And you saw what DeAndre Swift did this past weekend. If you think Dalvin Cook can't do the same damn thing, and Adam Thielen. Oh, should I mention Jalen Reagor as well? There's no worries there.
There's revenge calls coming out of his camp. I'm just letting everybody know.
The one thing, there are some intangibles that I think are in our favor. Kirk Cousins doesn't do well in prime time, so you got Kirk Cousins that's going to be hopefully throwing the ball up to our defense. And then, you know, this is the debut of the Black Helmets, right? I thought we were going with the All Blacks this Monday. Well, no,
I don't know.
We might. I think.
Are you breaking news?
I might just be making things up. I was under the impression that we were going with the alternates this Monday.
You might be right though, because this is a night that the home team, like Seattle, on last Monday night, they came out of that horrible lime ordeal.
Yellow.
Yeah, but I think the ones that they got is a matte black though. It's like a matte black, it looks sweet as hell. Is it matte black?
No, it's not matte. It's
the one. I think they got that because I saw the matte black when the I'm not going to tell you where I saw that, you know.
Whoa.
Like I said, there's a tough matchup against Dalvin Cook and both Justin Jefferson. But if we can shut those two guys down, I like our odds.
What about the guy that we wanted that they got back there as well? I watched their game. They kicked Green Bay ass soundly. Those two backs, they have two backs. The one, you remember the one that we wanted to trade for?
Madison?
Yeah, they kept him, and they're giving him the ball like five or six times. Mm-hmm. And they have a quality fullback, which we haven't encountered in quite some time. So this will be interesting.
Mal's been doing the film study here recently, and we talked earlier today. So what say you, Mal?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what Hollis said, Kevin O'Connell brought the Rams offense to Minnesota. Jalen Reagor and Adam Thielen been talking all offseason about how open they're going to be. Week one, we got a chance to see Justin Jefferson literally lined up everywhere in the backfield, in the slot, X, Y, right? Like moved all across the formation. Hollis said it, Green Bay did an appalling job of tracking him across the field. I don't know how you let Justin Jefferson go off of all people. I think that the Eagles really have a chance. Two couple things that jump out to me. First is Jordan Davis at the nose tackle changes the game drastically. When he was over the center, it changed the entire dynamic of the game. Same thing when Green Bay lined up over Minnesota center. They were giving them issues in that A-gap. So I think that that's one of the big things. B, Minnesota's right guard is not very good. Ed Ingram was getting worked. And so that's a chance. If Fletch can't get home, Hargrave can't get home, if they're not taking advantage of that right guard, man, that's definitely a missed opportunity. Yeah, they were killing Ed Ingram.
Yeah.
And then lastly, for me, you know, I think we'll get into this a little bit later, but Danielle Hunter is back. Za'Darius Smith, how they use those two on defense is so creative. And it's going to cause so many matchup issues. Isaac Seumalo better have his chin strap strapped up tight, because Za'Darius is going to come at him at least one time. And if you watch that Green Bay game at all, I mean, Za'Darius was literally de-cleating big-ass human beings. So,
but do you know why, though, Ma? Said, you know why, though, Ma? Because they released him last year.
Oh, yeah, he was kicked. You saw he pushed Aaron Rodgers in the back. He hit Aaron Rodgers with a dirty little play. It was nice. But Za'Darius could still go, right? They didn't have Danielle Hunter last year. How they're using Danielle Hunter now, in that formation and in that defense, is really creative. Ed Donatell, who apparently is a Vic Fangio disciple, just looking at how they line up their front four, they didn't have to bring a lot of pressure. But what they did that Gannon struggles with is the creativity component, right? Sending Za'Darius stunts from all over the place, stunts, right?
Yeah.
Mixing folks into different gaps. It was just impressive to watch how they completely dismantled Green Bay. Philadelphia is a better football team. For me, this game is won if Jalen Hurts can take what that defense gives him, right? Playmakers at every level of Minnesota's defense. But when you watch them versus Green Bay, when Aaron Rodgers was on time, feeding his backs, working into the short area, middle of the field, they were moving the ball. It's when they tried to get fancy, they started to start taking those deep shots, is when things fell apart for them. So I think Philly has a really great chance to win this game. But if the defense comes out sloppy again, this could easily turn into a blowout on Monday night.
I think you brought up a key point there in Jordan Davis, right, man, because, I mean, he only played 32% of the snaps. But when he was on the field, they were averaging the Lions were averaging 2.9 yards per carry. When he's off the field, 10 yards a carry. That's pretty a stark disparity. Difference. That's a giant disparity.
And then Gannon comes out and says that he just like, hey, the stats were divvied up how they were divvied up. For me, and Hollis, I'd love to hear your part in this too. As you played at the highest level, at some point you gotta adjust as a coach, right? Like, you're seeing what's happening. At what point do you make the adjustment to the offense to force them to do something different, right? Like, the defense was getting dictated to the entire game, and he was sticking to his personnel groups even when they weren't working. And like that's the piece for me that I'm like, yo, we can't do that, right? You got to be flexible. You got to be able to bend in the moment to figure out how to best attack an offense.
I'm happy you said that, Ma, because when and looking at what they were doing, you have what I would call a joker in Hassan Reddick, who they don't know if they don't know how to count him as a defensive lineman or outside linebacker, which is what they was doing with Za'Darius. It's like they would line him up in different places. And he would run the same stunts that we ran on the defensive line, but he would be the stand-up guy, and they would never know which way they're coming from. There's no creativity whatsoever with what they're doing. And I think Hassan Reddick has already said something about how they're deploying him. It's like, you're making him look bad. You're running him straight upfield with three other guys on this side, creating a cavern, and they just run the ball down our throat. It's like, I don't know what he's not. I don't think he's a coach, put it that way. Because coach puts, when you have this type of talent, you know how to get it in the proper position to attack. I call it organized chaos. The reason I call it organized chaos, because you're never supposed to put your secondary in a vicarious position, and you're supposed to put heat on the quarterback, make sure make him make fast and bad decisions. As like, if you let any quarterback that's made it to the NFL stand back there, they will pick you apart, sir.
Yeah. Brady Hill was throwing some dots, bro, with a clean pocket.
Brady Quinn will pick you apart. Now, I don't know about Tim Tebow, but Brady Quinn will pick you apart. And it's like I don't think he's a coach. That's why I think the addition of Vic Fangio is I think they're gonna be calling for him. And they need to hurry up. He needs to hurry up big time, because this is not culture.
I think Gannon, at the end of the day, needs to come to the table with the identity for this defense. I think the guys know what they want to be, and I think Gannon has an idea of what they want to be. And it's almost like you're going to the buffet and you're trying to sample everything. Like, when you got the meat and potatoes, that you know, play your best guys and do what you do and bring that front to life. You know,
so I feel like. I got a question for you real quick, bro. Uh-huh. How much do Gannon be paying you? Because I feel like you're the only person that's steady on some Gannon positivity. How much he's slotting? How much he's slotting, bro?
How much you listen to what I just said?
I listened to that, Gail. Now you know I listened to what you said.
Did you not hear what I just said? I said he has an idea of what he wants, but that's not what the team wants.
You can have an idea all you want to, but you have.
That's
to
what I'm saying. That's why it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good because you're trying to put a square peg into a round hole. You have to go with what you have. Your package is supposed to have different types of formations and sets in it to go with the talent in which you possess. Absolutely. You have a talented guy in Hassan Reddick who can rush the edge and he can cover a little bit. We're not even using that properly. We ran him upfield three times outside and they ran the ball down our throat.
They ran him like at Penny Sewell.
You didn't even know. Exactly. And if you guys don't know, the biggest pigeon on everybody's offensive line is the center. The biggest pigeon. So you're supposed to heat him up early and often up the gut. If we'd have been heating him up, you saw what happened when we ran over the center and we ran over the running back and threw him in Jared Goff's lap. He was back there like a scared chump. It's like that's when you put him on notice. If you don't put him on notice, they will dictate to you. You will not be dictating to them. And that's
my biggest fear on Monday is that Minnesota comes out with a really unique game plan and Philadelphia gets dictated to the entire game. At some point, yo, you're going to just, like, it's going to be hard to keep pace with Minnesota's offense if the defense isn't playing their game. Like, that's
that front's got to come alive, man. Like, you talk about
absolutely scoring bunches, bro.
You talk about $46 million. I want to see $46 million worth of play. And I think,
thank you. But if you're not giving me a way to make that $46 million, how the hell? Yeah. I'm supposed to play in the framework of the defense. If you got handcuffs and putting them on me, what the hell? You playing big but don't break.
Issue that Fletch had last year with the defense, like, right? Is that these playmakers are sitting here saying you got a bunch of dogs and you're not putting us in position to make any plays. How many times we gotta say the same thing?
This is the thing. He's not deploying it properly. Hold on. This is the thing. He's not deploying it properly. He's got them lined up. Like, sometimes you have to line up stripe to stripe and a man whoop a man. But when you're coming out early in the season, you don't have an 8-man front. It's easy to line up in an 8-man front and line up stripe to stripe because you got one man, one gap. But when you line up stripe to stripe, and it's you got all these DBs out there deployed, and you got them running around, a DB is not going to be able to cover for that long. And if you think four can ever be five, you're out your mind. Now you may win every once in a while, but if you don't do something drastic, as far as, like, there needs to be some stunts. Right. If you guys remember last year, he had a bunch of stunts in. We played Denver. You saw how fast we got the turnovers. We got ball hawking DBs, man. DBs that make good decisions. So if you get the ball out the quarterback hand,
plays now.
Thank you. He is not deploying the guys. You got linebackers that can make plays and linebackers that can rush the passer. What the hell are you doing?
Right. So I kind of am posing this question to the more so to the comment section, because I know that we're all on the same page. Hollis, I'm right there with you, man. As far as Gannon is concerned, if Gannon doesn't turn it around and show a stellar performance this Monday night, are we pulling the trigger? If they score plus 30,
I was gonna pull the trigger last week.
I know you were. That's why I'm posing.
I was
the
pulling
comment.
The trigger after Tampa Bay was over and he was getting all them head coaching opportunities. Yeah, I was like, shed, take him, get him out of here.
I will drive him to the airport.
I'm with you. What's the point of wasting time? I see so much potential in this team, so much potential in these players that are on defense and they're not being utilized correctly. I have more confidence in Vic Fangio turning this defense around and making us a more complete unit, and that's exactly what we're looking for. I've been saying all year that the sky's the limit if we're just clicking on all cylinders.
Like, I just want to see the identity of this team, like, come alive. Like, defensively, I want to see it come alive. No, but I'm just saying.
You know why you're not gonna see it? Because he's not allowing it. He thinks lined up, bend but don't break, it works. That crap don't work, man. If you're a defense, you'd rather be feared than loved. When you come in, they should be looking for you. They should be setting up blocking schemes for us. But you know what they do? They do the same thing and say the same thing that Tom Brady and them said in the playoff game. We know where they're gonna be at. They don't change. They don't do nothing different. We was running. Our DBs were so gassed because we was running so much man and man under. Occasionally, you need to run some zone and pop the quarterback in his mouth. You need to. On third and 16 and 17, you sit in the house and let them tackle the guy in front of them. We have those type of guys now.
And I feel like we got spoiled because we got to sit through the Jim Johnson era of defense, right? Where, like, you know, he gave so many different looks. He was so aggressive. Dude. He was never sitting back, getting attacked. Like, he was always the attacker.
Yes.
And like, I miss that, yo. Like, I miss that. I miss that so much.
When Jim first came to us, he was talking about you realize the first year that Jim Johnson coached us, we led the league in turnover returning yardage. Because we built the wall. Like, and you know why they have the don't touch the quarterback on interceptions now? Because he told us that the defensive end is supposed to nail the quarterback, get his ass on the ground, because you don't want that pansy making a play. But you also do it just in case you haven't hit him yet that day. And then we build a wall. If you don't get a block on the return, then that's a minus. And I'm leery about that my guys are not being taught to put their hands up on a quick drop. My guys up front, they're not taught to say ball when the ball is coming to the DB, so the DB still got his back turned. I see all types of stuff that is basic,
like fundamentals.
Stuff that you fundamentals. Yeah, but it's like if you don't teach it, you can't expect the guys to already know it. Know it. Well, they know it, but you have to reinforce it though.
Which is why
that's what we did every year.
I hate to be ageist, but I look at our coaching staff and it's a bunch of young heads, man. Like Vic Fangio brings some experience into this coaching staff.
But look at some of the other squads that do that. It's about what our defensive coordinator.
I just view it as experience, like Gannon's experience versus Vic Fangio's. I just weigh one versus the other.
Now you're on Vic team now, huh? You saying, is it too early? No, I'm deceiving you. Gail, too early? Is it too early, Gail?
You'd be throwing F on
the too early. Now let's talk about talk about Kirk Cousins, man.
Kirk Cousins sucks. Okay, I got that
Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins is not Jared Goff. I think Kirk Cousins is the guy that gets rid of the ball quickly. And he's fairly accurate. I think he's not the sexiest QB in terms of the Aaron Rodgers of the world and the Mahomes of the world, but he's the guy that gets it done. So in terms of beating Kirk Cousins, what is your scheme when it comes to beating Kirk Cousins? How do you beat Kirk Cousins?
At a time when no one else is playing.
I got a quick sidebar for Kirk Cousins. Last week they had 61 offensive plays for 403 yards. A hundred or so of those yards were on busted coverages when they were letting Justin Jefferson run those over routes. What they do is if they have that, Kirk Cousins is great at play action fakes. If you ever watch him and then they have a running back that you have to honor that. So he's great, and he's great at getting rid of the ball. But if you bust him in the mouth and you get him off of his spot, then it's a problem. Kirk Cousins still saying, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him at the end of the game say, "You like that, don't you?" You guys don't even remember that, do you?
Of course, I do.
Oh yeah.
So, but if you rattle him early and often and disguise coverages and you're close to the guy, he's just like any other quarterback in the NFL. If you hit him in the mouth, but if you don't hit him in the mouth and he gets that confidence, it's going to be a long day.
I mean, you made a great point with the broken plays.
Yeah, but the one thing I'm gonna add before I turn it over to you, was that he's not that good on primetime games. For whatever reason, he stinks at primetime games. I think he's only won one. I don't want us to be the second one. I think last week that they had a divisional game that they were tired of losing to Green Bay, and Green Bay thought that they were gonna roll the OG out there. They kicked their ass and they showed up. They gave them a nice old fashioned ass whooping. But I'm glad that they won the way that they did. So right now, I feel like we can catch them off of guard a little bit because we're a young team. Yeah. They've been together for longer than we have. We're truly trying to get to where our quarterback is not like Kirk Cousins, but on the same page with his receiver like Kirk Cousins is with Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. And Jalen Reagan.
I mean, I like a lot of what Hollis said. For me, it really also comes down to the back end coverage. So Epps and Gardner Johnson have to do a much better job of communicating on the back end. Cause like Hollis said, half of Justin Jefferson's yards came on broken plays. But when you see those broken plays for both of them, the safeties were nowhere to be found. Right. And so you have communication on the back end will be key. You also mentioned the ability to like mix in those coverages, but we have to disguise, right? Mm-hmm. You can't walk up to the line of scrimmage and give them the same look all game long. They already studied your game film. They saw what you did last year. They expect for Gannon to do very specific things, get very specific looks. If that's how that game goes, I don't know that we do stop Kirk Cousins. For me, again, that road to stopping Kirk Cousins is the right side of that line. Ed Ingram and O'Neal, the left guard, left tackle, respectively, did not have the greatest games versus Green Bay. Green Bay was able to get a lot of pressure on that side. So if we are going to just send Hassan Reddick directly at O'Neal, I do have some faith that he'll be able to get some one-on-one wins. The offensive line is not as good as Detroit's, right? Like Detroit had one of, if not the best O-line in the game. So when we're looking at Minnesota, Darisaw, left tackle, like they have gaps and voids. Their center wasn't able to hold up against zero techniques as well. So like there are opportunities up front to win this game. But it really, that Hollis said, you got to get the pressure on Kirk. He got to move him off his spots.
Hey, Ma, both of their offensive guards are rookies.
Yeah.
So they're your pitchers right
there. Ed Ingram did not look good at all.
He sucked big time.
At all.
What you got, F?
No, I mean, I'm not feeling too confident about the shutting Kirk Cousins down thing, because I think all of the things that would be required to do so would be the things that Jonathan Cannon doesn't do. I think that if you're able to send some blitzes, get some pressure, like, he's going to make mistakes. That's the key to getting past Kirk Cousins. But that with the frequency that we blitz, it has me worried. I don't have confidence in Gannon to draw up the right game plan. I'm simply hoping that it ends up turning into a shootout and we're able to outscore them with our offense.
Damn shootout, man.
You got to stop.
Yeah. Like, you got to pray
at some point.
No, I would love to stop him. I think he's stoppable. It's not like he's a top quarterback in the league. It's a matter of scheming, and I don't trust Gannon's scheming.
Yeah, no, I would love to look good in O'Connell's offense, though, bro. Like that offense looked like it fit like a glove last week. So they're gonna have to shake these boys up, or it's gonna be a long ass Monday night.
You think Detroit gave us 8 to 10 play drives? Man,
we'll see. Now, I would love to shut down their run, man. Like, if one thing we could shut down the run, I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, make them one-dimensional. You know, that's where I think I think their offensive line isn't as good as Detroit's. You know, I think that's where this other guy that we have to talk about. I mean, he's a guy that's come. You know, he's been the talk of the town. He's never even played for this damn Eagles team. Kirk Cousins, wide receiver. This guy has been a phenomenal talent.
I wonder why, before
he got drafted. Me and Mal did a video on him, and we loved his game, and he has just elevated his status, top tier in the league right now. He's up there. He says he's going to be the next. He's going to beat out Cooper Kupp. How you guys feeling about?
I got a quick question for you, Gil. When we drafted Jalen Reagan, what was you thinking instead of him? When we drafted Jalen Reagan,
I had Justin. What was Justin you thinking, Gil?
No. What was you thinking?
What was you and Mally thinking, Gil?
Well, if you saw my rankings, Mal, you would see that I had Kirk. You would see that I had Justin Jefferson as a first round. I had Reagor as a 1-2.
Them boys tried to convince me. They tried to fool me on draft day, bro. Tried to bamboo me. Yeah, they did.
But
hindsight.
I did have Jefferson higher than
Reagor. Are you kidding me?
And Reagor.
Oh, man. Yo,
I was looking back on the issue right now.
Screaming Justin Jefferson from day one. That was the receiver. When they passed on Jefferson, I literally took my dog outside for a walk to walk it off. Because like, there was no way you skip on Jefferson and he goes next. There's no compare. Like, you can't skip on him.
Mo, did you see how fast they got the Justin Jefferson pick in when they found out we didn't pick him?
Oh, yeah. They didn't even take it down, bro. Like, they sprinted to the podium to get that joint in. Hindsight, to your point, Ev, I think that we all tried to be super open-minded about what Jalen Reagor could be. He just wasn't a fit. His universal sort of skill set wasn't a fit. I think, honestly, the way that Minnesota is running that Rams similar kind of offense, they might be able to build some wrinkles for him where they use him correctly. I have very little faith that Reagor ends up anything.
Thank you.
And as far as Jet, for me, you got to bracket him, right? Like, I was talking to Gil earlier today.
Reagor?
You got to bracket Jet.
I was joking.
I would much rather Adam Thielen go off for 200 yards, right, than Justin Jefferson go off. You know who the person is that you have to stop. As far as stopping the run, I think that, again, coming down to Davis at nose tackle makes a huge difference. Like, night and day versus how Green Bay was able to stop them when they had somebody in that spot versus when they lined up three techniques. They were just controlling the line of scrimmage when they were lining up in a more traditional front. That nose tackle makes all the difference. Stop the run first, keep Kirk Cousins on his toes. You don't got to worry as much about Jet. But if we're giving him free releases and our safeties are confused and our linebackers are confused, it's going to be a long Monday night. And so there are a lot of ways that we can prevent that. But, Minnesota has quite a few star caliber players on their roster on both sides of the ball.
Do you think that the confusion from the back end of our secondary has anything to do, though, with, like, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson just getting here and still being acclimated with the system?
They didn't play bad, considering that, you know, Gardner-Johnson was literally playing off instincts. There were plenty of opportunities. He made plays. He missed a couple tackles. I think he'll clean that stuff up. You know, Marcus Epps got beat for a touchdown, but he had tremendous run fits throughout that entire game. So I'm not super concerned about the communication for us. I was more so like Green Bay did an atrocious job of communicating who was passing Jefferson off in zones. They just lost him time and time again. We can't afford to lose him once, let alone multiple times. And so if we are losing him in coverage, then that kind of spells the story of how that Monday night game is going to go.
Well, Slay talked about Slay talked about their communication. He said, you know, we just have to learn each other. He said he's like, you know, he's like we're out there on vibes right now, but he said, you know, they're getting there.
And to be honest, the vibes weren't terrible, right? Like, we're talking about stopping the pass. We had a pick for a return. You know, Kazir White and TJ Edwards made plays on the ball, you know, and as linebackers for us. They played relatively well again. Marcus Epps made some really great tackles for us. So, you know, I'm excited about the pieces. It's the scheme and it's the person calling the plays that has me super skeptical. We have all the parts, right? But like, our parts are only as good as the sum. And if the sum can't come together and make plays consistently, then we'll be talking about the same stuff week in and week out.
Now, the one thing, Maul, on the I was noticing this when Minnesota was playing against Green Bay. The one thing they didn't have any communication on the back end. And the guy, it's like we did this one time in the game too. It's like when I saw this in the game where a receiver goes by a guy and didn't block him. What the hell do you think you're going to the snack bar? it's like when a guy goes by you don't just stand out there. The one thing that Double J used to say was don't stand around covering grass. Find some work. If your guy goes somewhere else, if you see a guy coming. You have to pay attention to all that stuff, and I saw a lot of communication breakdown when Minnesota was playing Green Bay last week, and I just equate that to the dumbass defensive coordinator that they got over there who sucks ass.
So what does Justin Jefferson's stat line look like?
How is you funny on the board, bro?
What is the stat line? I forgot what the stat line. A bunch of catches.
I'm going four catches, 50 yards.
Are you talking about targets. Against us?
For Monday,
against us. Yeah.
Man, it actually depends on how we deploy our secondary. We have a formidable secondary, and this is what I suggest doing is taking my second best corner, and bracketing him and double team Justin Jefferson and put my best corner on Thielen, and then you just let the rest of the chips fall where they may.
Occasionally
you have to run some robber and some rover. Rover is like when you funnel them to a certain direction, and you have a guy looking at the quarterback's eyes to see where he's about to go with the ball, which normally causes an interception. I saw us do that a couple of times on some of the stuff last week. Us in general, and we were able to corral them. But I think you need some pressure with that as well. If we don't put pressure on Kirk Cousins, it's going to be a long day. I'm talking about a long-ass day.
And you have eight catches.
For him, for Justin Jefferson, I'm going to say five.
Five catches, five
for about 50 yards.
I don't think
we let him get loose.
You guys are optimistic, man. You are optimistic.
If he goes more than 60 yards, we fail, son.
I think he's going to go over 100 yards. He's a top three wide receiver in the league.
Nobody gives a damn.
We'll see at the end of the game if he held them under 60. I'll be impressed.
Ev Love, did we not pay our secondary?
We did pay our secondary.
Okay, then they need to step up to the motherfucking plate.
We're talking about what they should do versus what I think is actually going to happen. I think actually going to happen is he's going to go for like six catches and 120 yards. I think
I'm gonna give him a seven catches for 75 yards and a score.
You're afraid to say over 100 because you're gonna get.
No, that's I'll tell you, bro. I'll tell you how I feel all the time. I ain't afraid to say nothing.
No, because I don't see us giving them. I see them coming in here on the natural high because they just beat Green Bay, who they haven't beat in a while, and they're gonna do some of the things that they saw us get torched at, a bunch of some runs and stuff. I feel like we're gonna be able to. Hopefully, if we're able to corral them, I feel like I don't think our secondary will come out and embarrass themselves. We got a not an old secondary, but we have a secondary that's got some pride about themselves, and I feel like they're not gonna let this guy come and run all over the damn field. In my house.
Can you believe that we're already getting these comments for Jim what? Schwartz?
Yo, there's so many people on the timeline wanting Schwartz back, bro. That's how you know you down bad when you.
But we got Vic already in the building, man.
Vic's already in the building. Vic Fangio is in the building. I'm waiting on them to pull the trigger.
I want to do a meme of Vic Fangio. You know, the Kevin Durant where he's warming up in the hallway. I said that's Vic Fangio right now.
Because it's like he's getting ready. Well, he should be because it shouldn't even have been. Like they shouldn't even let Jonathan Gannon back on the plane from Detroit, with deploying that type of defensive scheme and not being ready for an overload scheme on one side. It looked like we got Brady in the parking lot. If you look at some of those long drives, and then to let them come back and you don't do nothing different. We just sat there and let them kick our ass, like and enjoyed it too, and they enjoyed it. Are you a hammer or a nail? You better not say nail. You better. my Northern Illinois brethren. So we was practicing one day in training camp, and the defensive line coach asked one of the defensive ends. He said, "You want to be a hammer or a nail?" And it kind of paused for a second. He was like a nail. Everybody looking like, "Wait a minute, what?" CJ Rose.
So we looking for some bold predictions. Obviously, it's not a hot take, but a bold prediction based off of some of the factual things that you think might go on. We'll go Ev. What's your bold prediction for Monday night?
I want to sit here and say that Miles Sanders is going to pop off, but I feel like this might be a Kenny Gainwell type game, man. I'm feeling the Kenny G game. I feel like he might end up with both a receiving and a rushing touchdown in this game.
That's how Green Bay attacked the Vikings was with those running backs, man. They did it. That kept them close-ish. So
what's your bowl prediction, Ma? Oh, you want me to go with mine first?
I got three sacks between Cox and Hargrave lining up over Ed Ingram, man. They're going to work that boy out. So them three sacks are going to be a difference maker for that defense.
I personally got I'm going to go with something offensive. Last week I picked Miles Sanders. This week I'm going with Devontae Smith. I feel like he has a way better game. I feel like he gets about 70, 80 yards in a touchdown. And it's effective enough to open it up for everybody else. I feel like he's going to be like one of the difference makers because last week they were saying that he didn't have a catch, but he had one catch, but he got through two, three times. But it's like he dropped that first one, which I think kind of, and the first one was like right there in his hands when he was going to run.
Money throw, bro.
So the one thing I feel like he's gonna bounce back this week. That's my bold prediction. That he's gonna have a nice game this week.
I wouldn't be surprised the first game from scrimmage go right to Smitty too, bro. Just get him going early, bro.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Smitty too with a bounce back game, but I'll probably go Dallas Goedert. I think they do have some stellar linebackers, but I think Dallas Goedert should G off. I think everybody, the talk of the town has been AJ Brown. I think,
big homie.
I think he's a difference maker in this group, man. Like AJ Brown, really represents, a dog. Like you're talking about, we got guys that, are playmakers, but he's a consistent playmaker and he threatens the integrity of the defense on the back end because they're like, where is AJ? Because we need to know.
Yeah.
what do you think AJ Brown's stat line looks like versus the Vikings?
Hopefully, if it's better, than
Evan, don't start this shit off by saying.
What shit am I starting? I open my mouth and Hollis just looks for negativity.
Because you can't say hopefully. We asking for a bold prediction. That means this is what I see. Not I hope. I hope don't nothing happen. Man, I wish don't nothing happen.
I hope I can get through a whole podcast without getting interrupted by Hollis.
Good luck with that.
That shit ain't happening.
Damn,
that shit is not happening.
Give it to us, Ev.
No, I want him to have a better game than Justin Jefferson. That's what I want him to have. As far as the stat line, I mean, I told you that I think Justin Jefferson is going to end up going for 7 for 120. So I have AJ then going for 8 for 140. There you go. Oh, and someone already wrote that.
You're a thief. Everybody, can we get a defensive player to it as well? I feel like we need an offensive and defensive bowl prediction.
Yeah. This is just what AJ is bounced out.
My bold prediction defensively is that we heat up Kirk Cousins. I feel like we're gonna heat him up and we're gonna take advantage of the pigeons in the two. It's a three pigeon meal. it's a three piece. That center sucks ass. And those two rookies next to him. We should. If it was me, I would line up Bear. And just take and just make sport of all three of them, and just push me Kirk Cousins' lap. So that's what I and to for his three sacks, I feel like my guys on the outside should get three as well. So I'm predicting that we have a 7-sack game.
Wow,
but total, if we get that's 7 sacks, that's a win.
Yeah, the guys up front, 7-sack game.
I mean, it's there for them to eat.
It's there for
when you look at Green Bay versus Minnesota's offensive line. Like Green Bay doesn't have the horses that we have, and Minnesota struggled in certain instances and situations.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Running game saved them. Kirk Cousins made some great plays. Plus, again, Green Bay just kept losing the best player on Minnesota's team. I don't know that we do that. As far as like AJ Brown, I'm going to go 7 for 75 and a touchdown. I think that he has a slightly less game because Minnesota's going to come in specifically looking to stop him. I don't think you can stop him. Plus, Hurts is dialed into him, and he's always open, right? Even when he's not open, he's open. So they'll get the ball to him. But I think Smitty ends up leading the receiving group in yards. And scores himself as well. But yeah, bro, I'm excited. This is a great opportunity, not even for just Jonathan Gannon. This is a chance for Nick Sirianni too. There were instances like I want to see some different route concepts. I want to see some creativity for both sides of the ball, right? Like we have to be more creative because this team, once they become predictable, then it's all on Jalen Hurts to save this organization. And that's not fair to a young quarterback that's surrounded by all of these multi-million dollar super famous people, but it falls back in his lap at 24 years old to save us time and time again. he probably does. So I don't know about that one. But yeah, man, I'm excited, bro.
Damn, yeah,
couple bold predictions in the chat here. We got Will Mallon says Jordan Davis will play 50% of the snaps. We have Robert chiming in with Bradbury gets a pick six. Feast with Pete says all the receivers score this game. Cody with the outside the box thinking. Tua Peloto gets his first career sack.
You know, Ed Ingram.
Effortless pronunciation right there.
That was incredible, Gail. Absolutely.
Hey, what about Milton Williams kind of disappeared on us too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, Milton had a heck of a freaking shed move, bro. He stood the tackle up or stood the guard up, shed him, made a play on the run stop. The little bit of burn he got, he showed a little something.
Was it 93 or 95?
No, it was 93. I got the clips. I'm just making sure. I'll send them to you if you want them.
Okay, cool.
I got them.
Yeah, because I be going over there teasing my young brethren because 95 and my boy Jordan Davis was in there handing out get the hell out of the clubs. He was throwing them jokers out of the club. That's why they only had like when those young guys was in there, they had like 2.9 yards per carry. Now, when the other guys were in there, they were going for sacks, so they had like 10 yards per carry. And that's what we have to get away from.
Fletch couldn't get free one-on-one to save his life until that last sack where they basically blitzed everybody to get him home. Like, Fletch got to win, bro. Got to win.
But, this goes to what we're talking about the coach getting him in a position where he's one-on-one. Where you run, so if you notice I was watching when the Detroit Lions were running. They put that new guy and another guy damn near next to each other. So you have to single block them. It's like they're gonna slide the line to Fletch and Hargrove every time. But I think Minnesota's gonna I don't think they have a choice. We need to come out and exact our male dominance fairly quickly. Not too soon. I thought we were in a circle of trust.
Okay, let's talk about we kind of already talked about our biggest concern.
That's the face that I expect here and there.
I think we all have the same biggest concern.
Is that
something that's your biggest concern?
What's your biggest concern? You don't speak my sarcasm.
Oh God.
we could all say Gannon. Gannon is our biggest concern, right?
Yeah, it is the biggest concern.
100%.
We can move right on. Speaking into existence,
that was the easiest one.
Speaking into existence, our offensive MVP because we are coming out with a dub on this one. Ooh. Who's going to be your offensive MVP versus the Minnesota Vikings?
There's only one guy that this entire offense gets carried by, and it's Jalen Hurts. He's going for
300 passing yards.
It's Jalen Hurts.
He's going to chip Green Bay up, man. He's going to keep us ahead of the chains. He's going to keep us on time. He's going to take what Green Bay gives him. I think you see less of him scrambling and more of him getting outside the pocket. He had that great throw to Devontae that he dropped. He also had that great throw where he got drilled in the face that he hit A.J. Brown on a crossing route. And I mean, that's an NFL throw, right? Like, people always want to detract and the great Hurts.
Is that why Ev got off because you were talking good about Jalen?
Ev said Jalen Hurts is his MVP.
But then he
just rolled when you was giving him compliments. Man, what the hell, bro?
He got to use the bathroom.
I know. But now, what I was going to say, Ma, was I wanted the offensive MVP to be Booby. To be Miles, I feel like if he's what I saw last week, he will make our offense roll. Like we'll become a juggernaut because they will have to line eight in the box. Miles Sanders.
Oh yeah, Miles had a hell of a game, bro. Great game.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. But did you watch how he ran the ball?
Running downhill.
If he comes out like that and we're able to harness that and the play action fake, you got the MVP might still be Jalen, But if Miles come out and be the MVP that I think he can and run downhill and be that difference maker, so the play action fakes work. So the run away and keeping the ball works. Yeah, because they, at first, I don't know if you noticed, the Lions was not falling for none of that runaway and him pulling out and pulling the ball out and running. They weren't falling for none of that at first. But then he started hitting them in the mouth and getting downhill, and everything started to work and churn. But I feel like he made some great receptions.
Like Miles Sanders chipped in a very – as I was watching it, I was thinking, I was like, I wonder what Hollis thinking right now, because he was on
boy neck. You know,
that's the vibe he sold.
I know, but the reason why I get on people is because I know what you could do. I know your talents, and it pisses me off when you waste them. When you waste your talent, or the coach like Jonathan Gannon doesn't deploy the talent which we had, because everybody was making concessions for him last year about us not having the talent. We have superstars on every level of the defense now. What is your excuse? Why are we not pressuring the quarterback? Why are we giving up 31 points? 35 against the Lions.
To Jared Goff.
Private Power, why is he in our head?
I'm going to give you my offensive MVP. I'm going to go with A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown puts up another hell of a performance. I think the way he's trending, he's trying to take over the league. I think he's got a perfect opportunity. I'm not really afraid of their cornerbacks. I think, you know, they had issues last week. But the funny thing about, you know, Patrick Peterson, he's getting up there in the age. You know what I'm saying?
Right. He's not the Pat was in Arizona years ago. It's a different player.
Yeah. That, but did you see the first play of the game where he got toast?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Toast. Watson beat the heck out of him and then dropped it.
Oh, my God,
And that changed the whole game after that. Like, the whole momentum shift.
And between A.J. Brown's dominance and Devontae Smith being an absolute route guy, like, they're going to be open downfield. It's just all a matter of, you know, getting the ball to him.
See, now he comes back in for the Jalen Hurts comment. There you go.
I know. You know, as it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, I knew Haas was going to have something to say about that.
Damn Skippy.
Now let's talk about, you know, we'll get to the defensive MVP in a second, but talking about Jalen Reagor and talking about the revenge game. This has been a laughable situation. I almost had a meme. I had a meme. I was working today and I was like, you know, either do my work, do my job, or do a meme. Mm-hmm. I did the meme, but then I was like, you know what? I forgot to send it because I was doing my work. But it was, like, that meme where the thinking man's meme, the black dude.
Yeah.
It's like you can't have accountability if you don't have none.
The irony of you forgetting to send that out is that Jalen Reagor forgot to play football the entire time he was here.
Probably. Like, when you see that, what's your initial reaction?
Listen, mine?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm not going to interrupt you.
So, I mean, my initial reaction is that, like, when he first went out to Minnesota, I'm sitting there like, listen, I want him to turn his career around. I want him to do something. But do I have the confidence that he will? And the fact that he just can't keep himself from talking shit, regardless of where he is in his career, like, man, you have to look at yourself in the mirror. And, like, are you really a guy that should be sitting there talking shit? Or maybe you should be proving yourself. And then you get to that point. Jalen Reagor doesn't concern me at all. He's never in his entire career shown me any reason why he should be viewed as a threat in this game. And I think that his, like, I want to sit here and root for the guy and hope that he can turn his career around. But when he's talking about revenge game, bro, shut up.
Like, do something in the NFL before you start popping off, bro. Yeah. You've been in the league too long to just be
he's
a
been
nobody,
popping off his entire career with his Twitter fingers, but he never done anything.
With his Twitter though, he got on there and started bumping his gums, but then closed it down because everybody was all over him, like Mike Tyson and beauty pageant. And then he got caught up like Anita Baker. He was caught up in the rapture, but then he came back. But then he left again. But then he came back. I was like, who are we dealing with, Sybil? How many different personalities does this Yahoo got? And then Chad Ocho Cinco gonna talk about, y'all gonna see a different record this year. Bullshit.
Yo, people been saying that like every year, that we're gonna see a different Rager every year.
Well, I mean, it's just being accountable. Like, bro, it's like the awareness level. Like, if Madden had an awareness level, his awareness level would be like maybe like 25. Like, come on, man.
But do you really? But I don't know about you, but I realize I don't have any ammunition to fight with people if I play on the field and I suck, and I truly do suck. There's no ammunition. There's no comeback. It's like I get a big check, but that check is gonna be gone pretty soon because you suck, you stink. Yeah. And it's like and you have enough nerve to be out in public amongst human beings.
My thing is like when you was playing Hollis, are you gonna talk on Twitter or are you gonna let your play do the talking for you on the field?
Well, fortunately, Twitter wasn't available. Yeah,
God it wasn't around.
For yo, Hollis was on MySpace. Hollis was on MySpace, like
I didn't go back and forth as a fan. If I knew I stink. I'm like, but I'm going out there. And when I go out there, I'm not going out there to look bad. This is this is entertainment at its finest.
Yeah.
And I make sure that I prepare myself during the week, and I'm not caught out there bad doing silly shit. As far as like the one guy was talking about some people in the club. I was like, that ain't none of your business because it wasn't on the night. But in the same right, you can say what you want because the fans are the people that pay your check. It's like every time I hear somebody that talks about the Philly fans. About them being mean and bad and stuff, I was like, "You must have sucked," because they only tell you if you can play, they let you know. But if you can't, they still let you know. I don't know if I've told you guys about the Jason David story. Jason David, when I was in New Orleans, I was playing for New Orleans, and he was the only guy after we went to the NFC Championship game. They brought him in and paid him a lot of money. One game, he sucked ass to the high heavens, and this is how bad he sucked. We were playing against Jacksonville Jaguars. You guys remember Roy Williams, the receiver? Reggie Williams, the receiver.
Oh, yeah.
He had one touchdown. Guess who it was on?
Who?
What down it was on? It was on Jason David. But guess what down it was on?
Third and 20.
Damn. What the hell are you looking in the backfield for? Yeah. He was looking in the backfield, and Reggie Williams run down the sideline. Behind him, that's his man. But it's like, but the fans of New Orleans are just like the fans of Philly. Later on, even though we kicked the Jacksonville Jaguars' ass, later on that night, we were out at the one club that spins around on the 35th floor, rotates. And as I was coming in, a police officer said, "I just saw Jason David. What the hell is he doing out in public?" I was like, wow. And the epitome, hold on, I'm going to get this last point, Ev. The epitome was, being that when the Lakers were playing against the New Orleans Hornets, and I know, they show up in a Kobe Lower Marion jersey, Jason David did, and CP3 was like, "Man, what the fuck's wrong with your boy?" I was like, "Ah." So the crowd got real, real low. It was like during intermission, and he was sitting like courtside, catacorner from me, and it seemed like a hush went over the whole crowd. And one fan looked at Jason David, was like, "Jason David, you suck." I was like, "Wow, whoa, that was brutal."
But that's how it is, bro.
That's how it is. It's like fans spend. It's like some guys don't realize y'all fans spend their last to see a team that they're loyal to, that they love. And it's like for you to go out there and screw the pooch and think that nobody's gonna say something, you're sadly mistaken, sir.
Right. And that's the thing that like I just want to touch on with like Rager's out here just writing checks he can't cash. He wants to do all of the shit talking and then try and back it up with some solid play. But to your point, Hollis, like you don't have to, in my opinion, you don't have to be great in order for these fans to get behind you. If you are humble and you show that you are trying your hardest out there, like I look at a guy like Greg Ward, who is very revered by the rest of all Philadelphia. Like as a guy,
me too. That's my guy.
Everybody loved Greg Ward, and it's not like Greg Ward was ever a top wide receiver, was ever going to be close to a top wide receiver. But what he did was go out there and he kept his mouth shut. He was humble and he did his job. He did what was asked of him, and that's he was loved by Philadelphians because of that. You don't need to be a superstar in the league. All you got to do is be humble, and do your part. That's all you got to do.
Do your job, man. Do your job.
But it'd be funny because it was like in looking even like across the board, all the sports. It's like you saw there was one cat who I guess he had a couple years stint of playing baseball. He's like, "Oh, those Philly fans, they're horrible." I was like, and I looked up his batting average. He was 0 forever. he just stunk the whole time. They paid him for nothing. I was like, dude, when you come somewhere stealing and you ain't, and you don't got no gun to tell everybody to shut the hell up.
You come somewhere stealing, son.
Yeah, you come stealing. You're stealing money.
Talk about defense. What do you guys got for defensive MVP?
Kazir White.
Wow. Ooh. I like that.
Who you got?
Gotta be.
That's a tough one, man. I'm gonna go Darius Slay though. I think that he's gonna make up for the dropped interception last week, and he's gonna have a pivotal interception this game, maybe two.
Yeah. Okay.
Gail?
I was gonna say Slay too, and then I was gonna follow up with Jennifer Slay. May come to the tailgate, maybe.
Nice.
Oh, sounds please. Awesome.
Was that the only reason you were gonna say Slay?
Just pretty
segway,
much. Just
segway. Like, yeah. Segway. Go ahead.
He's brown nosing. I'm gonna say my defensive front. Just the defensive front. I think they're gonna take over this game. This is the way it's got to be. I think they finally make Jonathan Gannon get off his high horse and let them start calling their stunts up front and cutting up the run, because without cutting up the run and just thinking that the front four are going to stop the run, you're sadly mistaken. And when you play against a team that uses play action fakes the way that this team uses play action fakes and other teams use it, that run is coming. And if you don't stop it, they will keep running the ball down your throat. So I think my guys up front, and it's no surprise, I'm impartial to my guys up front, but I think Jordan Davis is going to get a lot more playing time. And M95, I'm not going to try to butcher his name like you, Gail.
Tupelotu. Say, you know, we had an interview set up with Tupelotu before he got drafted, because I liked his game, and everything was set. Right? I'm sitting there spending all this time watching footage. I'm like, yes, the interviews happened today, and all of a sudden didn't show. And I was like, man, I had to learn all this shit for nothing. I had to watch all this film for nothing. I had to learn the name pronunciation for nothing. And then he ends up getting drafted by the Eagles. So I was like, all right, makes sense.
Okay, his brother's at USC if you want to try round two.
Way
his,
to go.
His cousin is the safety, another Hufuanga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Hufuanga. Mm-hmm. Another hard name to pronounce, Hufuanga. But was he surprising to y'all last week?
Who that?
I was surprised how many snaps he got. That's for sure.
I was surprised he got so many snaps over Jordan Davis. That was probably the biggest shock.
You know what, Mom? I wasn't surprised at that, because he was on the squad last year, and I feel like he's the speed of the game, and his strength is stuffing the run and just crushing the pocket. I saw a lot of that when he was at USC, and that's my guy. It's an inside joke where some punk ass Dallas fan mistakenly repossessed his car. Yeah. And I know the Dallas fan, if you're watching it, sucker. But and watching him do what he do as far as in college and stuff, I knew he was going to be able to bring it to this level. And I just think he needed last year to get his feet wet. I think Jordan, I think he's going to get more plays this week. I know, because I see when I'm watching, I see him standing by the coach like, it's like old school. I don't know if you guys remember the first time we used in high school, they pull you up to varsity, but you're still a freshman, and you'd be by the coach, be like, can I get in?
Standing right next to him.
And it's like he went out there and he did what he was supposed to do and flourished at Jordan Davis. But I just see my guys taking it to the next level this week.
Absolutely.
Nice. Now, further AM in the comments, he's like, hey, guys, could you give us your score prediction? Because last week we actually forgot to give our score prediction. So, we did. We actually did.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Really? We sure did.
What, who's going first?
I'll go first.
We can go with you.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I got us winning by a touchdown, 30-23.
I got us. Go ahead.
Ma, 28-21 Eagles.
Yeah, 28-21 Birds.
Damn it, Mal. I got us 24-17 Birds.
There it is.
24-7. So that means the defense lived up to your
they better.
Perfect.
They better.
If they don't, we 17. Don't win. If they don't, we don't win, yo. Like, is that simple?
You have to put them on those.
This offense should put up 30 points every week. That's my goal.
I'm going 31-24.
Mark said 38-27. That's a nice score. What's the over-under?
I'm not sure.
That's a good question.
I didn't check it yet.
What's the spread?
Weren't we 4-point favorites? 4-point favorites. No problem.
Oh, we four. Okay, cool. But we should be able to kick their ass though. Uh-huh. There shouldn't be no, especially with the way they fans came here that last time and gonna put acting Rocky a on fool, the on right? the yeah, acting a donkey and then got mad at us. Hey, right. you don't want to come
they
here.
Still mad started at us. It. Right.
Yeah. The motherfuckers love to scream peace after they start some shit.
I mean, you can't be going around, monuments or like dressing up the Rocky statue. Because to some people, that statue is serious. But I'm just saying, you can't be doing that kind of stuff. It I remember that when it happened. In the tailgates, the word was like getting like going. It was going through like wildfire. They're like, "What they did? What they did? What they did? What?" And by then, you couldn't stop Eagle fans because they were so hype and they were ready to kill. I said, it's gonna be a long day for them.
Yeah, it should have been a long day.
And you came to the wrong city with that kind of action. Like, this is not the city you pull up to disrespecting monuments, talking shit. Yo, we fight each other. Do you understand what we would do to foreign people, bro? Like, we bang out with one another, son. Every day is war on Eagles Twitter. So
now,
don't
to that
the
point,
city of Philadelphia acting up, man. You might not make it home, homie.
To that point, Mal, like, we've been fortunate enough to be able to travel and go and see all these different cities the past few years with Eagles away games. And I agree with you. I never realized that people were so nice outside of Philadelphia.
Yo, hella nice.
I didn't meet one mean person the whole time. Yeah, like, I walk to the grocery store after this and get cursed at for no reason.
You get called a dickhead in a minute in Philadelphia, bro. Just walking across the street, just get disrespected.
It's not less live.
But what did you do when you was walking across the street, though? I'm asking for a friend.
Two weeks ago, I was walking home from the grocery store, and some dude did a drive-by just saying, "You walk like old people fuck." And I'm like, damn, what the fuck did I do? You're in a car. You're not even behind me.
Apparently, you walk like old people fuck.
Apparently.
Apparently, you took your time going across the intersection. And that's what it was. See? You left out. You buried the lead. Way to go.
I was on the sidewalk.
Sure, you were on the sidewalk.
Yo, Hollis always going to find the fault with Hollywood, bro. Yeah, 10 out of 10.
That's my dog.
It was Hollis yelling at me. I know it was Hollis yelling at me.
Get your ass across the street. The one thing I do hate is when I be driving on my way to maximize my sexy is drive by somebody who's in the fast lane going slow, and you drive by them and you see this in their car.
Yeah.
They on the phone. Are you kidding me?
Every time I talk to Hollis, he's having road rage of some sort.
Like, did you get that? Always dude,
what you saw? Ostrich on the side of the road the other day?
Was it an ostrich?
Where the fuck did you see an ostrich?
Well, I don't know. He's always seen some crazy shit.
I'll be out in the out by in Delaware County. Sometimes you see strange things. No, I saw a vulture. I saw a vulture.
Yeah, vulture.
Yeah, it was a big ass vulture.
We're taking you to a zoo next away game.
It was a big ass vulture. It looked like a kid. But I was like, it was in the middle of the street eating some roadkill. And I was like, damn. I was like, who's kidding? Oh, that's a vulture.
That's all right, Tim. Yeah. That's all right. I got it.
Tim, don't coddle him, Tim. You're only going to make it worse.
Anybody that drinks crunchy beer is tough, yo.
It's kind of like your mom coming to say, "Hey, lay off my son, would you?" Right. Oh, really? Going back over there, Miss Hurst. We're gonna make nice with Evan.
we can keep my mother out of this.
Make him so good. My bad.
So for everybody, going to the game, we are going to be tailgating. I'm going to be putting out something. We've been getting tons of DMs from people. What are the details? Hey, where are people going to be at?
Do y'all have a golf cart, Gail?
No, we don't.
Because I was going to say, if you came to get me from the gatehouse over the neighbor yard, I would come over there and fuck with y'all for a little bit.
Primo's got the scooters.
Primo will get you a scooter.
I'm not getting on no damn scooter, no. Yeah. I will not be a TikTok sensation, sir.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But we like to give a shout out to Bud Light for supporting the tailgate like they always been. It's been six years running. They've been holding us down. Shout out to Conchi Bakery. Tomato pies will be happening per usual. Then we have the cheese steak made by yours truly over here, Evan Hearn.
Picking up from Scal's Pizza in Marlton now. So check that out.
Evan makes a good burger too, y'all. Hey, a pretty tasty burger. Way to go on that burger. Now you made a burger at the tailgate.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think. I was like, yes, because I had a photo of that. That was just for the practice. Now, if you think that's a big tailgate outing, that was just the practice.
I just want to highlight this real quick. Can you bring that picture back real fast? I just want to say, all right, now listen, this is for practice. Is this the city you want to come talking shit and this many damn people showing up to practice, fool? This is dedicated fandom, dog. Like, this ain't the city, man. This ain't the city.
Funny thing is, people are just looking at us like, what are you guys doing? This is for practice? I'm like, yeah, it's for practice.
Dialed in.
Like, why not?
Hype.
Why are you doing a tailgate for practice? I said, why not?
Why not?
Yeah, right.
But we haven't seen each other in months. What the hell are you talking about?
And the beer was cold and delicious, and it's a great way to stay in shape.
Yes. Mm.
I've literally talked to people from London. We've had people from
Manton's down.
Canada coming down. We've got people from West Coast.
Seattle, and it's a couple of cats from Seattle. And somewhere else, because he hit me up because let him know I was going to be Saturday. I don't know what you guys. What are you guys doing Sunday?
We'll be around trying to figure that out. I mean, a lot of Eagle fans are like, "What are y'all doing?" I said, "Yeah, we'll figure something out. We'll give you a spot and y'all just
fly,
show up.
We're going to fly by the seat of our pants.
That's how we do, man.
A foundation meeting going on at the local infirmary down the way.
Did you say that local infirmary?
We got Mr. Angelo coming in from South Florida.
Yes, sir. Mm.
Nice.
Okay.
There's a lot of people coming in. It's actually starting tomorrow, so the town should be festive. And we're looking for a Birds victory. Jonathan Gannon needs to come on with the come on, or they need to pull the trigger. He hasn't shown that he has the tactical fortitude to run this defense. And you're supposed to force the issue. It's supposed to be a violent chess match. It's like you're supposed to know what he's doing. Know your opponent. It's like there's nothing else you should know but your opponent, and you should deploy your weapons how you see fit.
Right.
Yo, shout out to Cozy. I'm looking at this is his real government name here. I know it's Cozy, but so
bad, Cozy.
Ivan's come from Cali. Rack Shack is coming.
Hey,
from Auburn, New York.
Let's go.
Originally from Seattle, right? Rack Shack was in Seattle.
Yeah, I believe so. I might be wrong.
I don't know.
Brandon said, look at his question. I don't see his question.
Look at Brandon's question. You guys have all the good stuff over there. I just worked
talking
here.
To Rack Shack. I don't see a question.
I'm waiting.
I don't see a question.
Yeah, what's the question? I can't find the question, my guy.
Brandon, question mark at the end of your statements.
What did you say?
I saw that.
what was awkward?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you guys
so
hear
anyway,
about the guy who was arrested on Southwest Airlines
for what?
On a 30-minute flight, he masturbated 8 times.
I had a feeling we were going that direction. I don't know why.
Like a one-man show. It's like a one-man show. Like having sex with yourself.
I was trying to join the Mile High Club. I said, not those nuts.
Yeah, put him in the bathroom. So at this point, anybody have any last words? I think this is a perfect opportunity to air your grievances. Yeah.
Anybody, should I go first and then let the chips fall where they may?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that that my birds go out and kick the shit out of Jalen Reagor for even bumping his gums against. I don't even think that guy is going to get on the field.
Nah, like, I mean, punt return, maybe.
And if he get on punt return, I suggest somebody just take a 15-yarder and blow him up just so he can see what it feels like to get hit in the NFL since he hasn't really played or anything because he can't get on the field. But my last words is I'm tired of Jonathan Gannon. We need to come on with the come on. This is a quality test that's coming up this week. It's a formidable offense that we have the tools to shut them down and to dictate to them what we'll let them do, what we'll allow them to do. We should not be on the field for 60 plus plays because we can't get out of the field because they're marching up and down the field and keeping our offense cold. That's how you keep a good offense cold, by keeping them on the off the field. That's mainly my last words is if Jonathan Gannon come on with the come on. If not, then Vic Fangio. Yay.
Hollywood. You guys familiar with what a Viking funeral is?
Yes.
Oh God.
Tell me.
A Viking funeral is when somebody dies and then you have them on the boat and you push them out into the water and light the ship on fire.
Set it on fire. Yeah.
I'm not calling for a Viking funeral for Jonathan Gannon if it's a pretty ugly game, but I floated the idea out there. Dude, I think that first of all, I want to put it out there that I'm excited for this tailgate. See everybody back in person again. I mean, it's been a long time. The home opener, I know, is going to be a fun-ass time because everybody's going to be coming out for it. But hopefully that could be capped off. I'm not going to say hopefully. When it gets capped off with an Eagles win, there's going to be more celebrations in the parking lot afterwards. So make sure everybody takes off. And, acts accordingly.
Oh, you're flexing with a double tailgate?
Double tailgate.
Okay.
Go leave the tailgate.
If there's any beer left in the coolers after the tailgate, back out after the victory.
Yeah, now your last word.
I'm just excited to see what Sirianni and Gannon come up with to keep a really good Vikings team off balance. I think something that Tank has mentioned the entire show is that you have to dictate to the opposition. And in too many instances, the Eagles on both sides of the ball are being dictated to and they're having to, like, respond. Show me that y'all are worth the money that you paid. Show me that y'all are worth the positions that you have. Let's get creative. Y'all have studs at every level of both sides of the field. Y'all have a good kicker. Like, this is a team that's situated well right now to make a deep playoff run. But so much of that is contingent on these first few games and these first few challenges. How does this team respond? Y'all are healthy. I want to see the creativity. But honestly, I want to see the violence, bro. The Lions came out and kicked Philadelphia in the ass. Hell out them boys. And thankfully, we won the game. But, like, I want to see Philadelphia be the violent aggressor. It's allowed. It's legal. Right? Assault is illegal. Yes. It's legal in football, right? Like, let's get out here. Let's beat some people in their heads, man. And let's not be dictated to, because the Vikings, if you allow that to happen, they will absolutely bury you and embarrass you on Monday night.
Wow. I mean, there's a certain standard of football that, you know, Eagle fans expect in the city of Philadelphia. I think it's the Philadelphia way. When you come in here and dictate to teams what you are and who you are, I think Gannon's got to get his shit right. He's become the new Derek Barnett. He's got to get it right. Can't get right. So, but I think, you know, 95 million plus reasons why, talk about trench wise, where we poured all our money into, the trench warfare has to be popping. Like, you want to control this football game, control the trenches. And I think, this is the game to do it. I think Jalen Hurts, again, he's giving everybody an opportunity. We're talking about the Hurts haters out here. Opportunity to see what he can do in front of the home crowd. And it's Monday Night Football. There ain't no other games going on but the Eagles and the Vikings. NFL, you are on notice. Eagles going 2-0. And we'll see you.
17-0. But yeah, you're right.